Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would open up your bulletins, you're going to find a copy of the sermon notes that are there. Hope that you'll take those out as we continue to take our journey together. For the season of Lent, we've been looking at what I've been calling confrontational discipleship. And I've been defining that as not confrontation where you go up to somebody else and you challenge them and you tell them, why aren't you more like me? But you look within yourself and say, am I living the life that God has called us to? So we're asking ourselves a couple of very important questions during the season of Lent. Everybody does a moment of self-evaluation. There's some things that we want to ask ourselves. Are we becoming the people that God has called us to be? Are we becoming the people God intended us to be? And are we doing what we as Christians have set out to do? A part of our discipleship journey is to become more like Christ. That's what we set out to do as Christians. We want to reflect that image of Christ. And then we have to evaluate, have I fallen off of the path? Have I taken the easy way out? Have I stopped challenging myself and kind of settled down for the easy road? And so during the season of Lent, we're evaluating, how are you doing? An inward reflection. We're not asking you to fill out any forms. We're not asking you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an A, B, or C kind of a Christian. We're asking you to do an inward reflection. And so this morning, I want to ask you a question that I hope that will challenge you, and I hope this morning as we consider our faith journey, we'll think about those things that are holding us back. You know, sometimes I feel that, like the church, that sometimes we're like horses that are in the starting gate. If you ever watch like the Belmont or the Preakness or something like that, you see these thoroughbreds, high energy horses, muscles just ready and taut, ready to go. And they go in the gate and they close the gate behind them. And very often they're such high energy, they're so ready to go that very often they'll even injure the jockey because they're pushing against the gate. I want to get out, I want to run, you know? The spirit of us within this church is like, I want to run. I'm ready to go. There's so many things that we could be doing. Are you ready to open up those gates? But what are those things that are keeping those gates closed, that are not allowing you to burst out, to run with the full wind in your face? So I want to challenge you this morning to ask you a simple question. What are those distractions? What are the distractions that are keeping you from experiencing the presence of God in your life? What are those distractions? Somebody put that out. I put that out on the internet, got a whole bunch of responses. I want to share with you some of the responses. See if any of this resonates with any of you. What distractions keep you from experiencing the presence of God? Selfishness, other people's demands and expectations. Exhaustion, the internet, cell phones, communication overload, fear of the silence within my head. Superficially busy, I'm overextended, the noise, the need for more money, fires that constantly need to be put out. Deadlines, the relentless demands, self-absorption, things. Computers, emails, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time. Job and self-absorption, text messages. Everyone expecting an immediate response, my fear of stillness and my inner thoughts, illness, my ego, my fear of missing out, things that make me absent-minded, the economy, making ends meet, the mountain of debt that I find myself under, mental relaxation, money, worry, anxiety, exercise, sleep problems, sadness, lack of intentionality, concern for the future, attachments, lack of focus, Facebook, work, distracted mind, small stuff, other people's stuff, jealousy, TV, my ego, my limited self, demands from society to keep up, my humanness, my life, little details, the rat race, exhausting from taking care of others, a voice inside myself, finding quality time, the daily grind, business commitments, cell phones, TV. I never experienced the presence of God. Emails. My job is now 24/7. I'm always on call. I've never taken a vacation without constant attention to emails. What are those distractions? Does any of that resonate with any of you? Do you see that around yourself? Do you see those distractions that are crying out for your attention, that are drawing you away from who you really are, and more importantly, who you want to be? How many times I hear people say, that's not what I want to do. I'm so under the gun. I'm so distracted. This morning we want to take a look and say, is that who we want to be? Is that what God is calling us to do? Throughout Lent, we've been talking about encounters where Jesus is encountering people and changing their perspective on life. And this morning, we're going to hear a story where Jesus has turned his face towards Jerusalem. He knows the destiny that lies ahead, and he encounters people along the way, and he's changing their perspective of both themselves and the world in which they live. And I pray this morning that if you feel distracted, if you feel overload, if you feel overwhelmed, then this story is going to be for you, because it was for people in Jesus' time that didn't have any of that technology. They were still overwhelmed. We're going to confront our priorities. Would you join with me as we open up God's Word from Luke's Gospel? We're going to look at Luke's Gospel and hear this story. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? Would you share with me what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Hear the story of Mary and Martha from Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, this morning, we are distracted. We are distracted by our own priorities. We're distracted by others' priorities. We're distracted by trying to measure up. But here in this place and at this time, we come before you because you are the most important thing. Help us, O God, to keep focused on who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking this morning about priorities. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we said, what are some of those things that pull us away from that relationship to God? We're confronting our discipleship. And we said, one of the things that keeps people isolated is their fears. We need to confront our fears, both of ourselves and of the future. Last week, we talked about brokenness, and admitting to the need within all of us that we need to grow. We tend to be hiding from our own brokenness, and we ask the question, where is your brokenness? Where do you need God to step into your life? This morning we want to ask, where are your distractions? What are those things that very subtly, you know, they seem very good, answer a couple of emails, stay in touch with people, but very subtly, very quietly, very deceptively, they begin to overwhelm your time, and pretty soon you find that you are running instead of being in control. I had an English teacher when I was in high school that we talked often about priorities. And as an English teacher, they said, well, that's improper. You know that that's improper because you can't have multiple priorities. You can't have multiple things that are at the top. What is at the top is your priority, and everything else is subject to that. But in our own day and time, we have fallen into the trap of saying we can't do that. We have so many responsibilities. We have so many covenants. We have multiple responsibilities. And as a result, we feel ourselves torn in multiple directions, many times in many different ways. And so Jesus comes into this story. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He stops at some friends' house, friends of Mary and Martha. Martha is busy, as the story tells us, with the gift of hospitality. Jesus has come and she is preparing a meal. It is the gift that she is doing, and it is a valuable gift. As a matter of fact, it tells us in the story that she was distracted with the gift preparing what had to be done. This had to be done. It was necessary. But Martha had become so overwhelmed with the burden of preparing it that she began to look at everybody else. She began to become distracted. Jesus looks and he says, Martha, the problem is that you're becoming distracted. If you look up that word in the Greek and you look at how it's used in other places, you find that the root word of distracted actually means to be drug around. And so if we replace that word, it says, Martha, Martha, don't you know that you're being drug around by your expectations, by all these things that you're being asked to do? And I want to think about that in terms of our own stories, the things that we get involved with. Right? Instant messaging, constantly be on call, constantly checking email, constantly trying to believe that we have got to be there for everyone all of the time. And as a result, you are being drug around, maybe by the back of your hair, maybe by your nose, but you are being drug around maybe by your cell phone to be something you never wanted to be. And Jesus steps in and says, Martha, you're now being drug around. When we think about this story, there's a couple of things that will isolate us. And it's a not having a central identity of what's really most important. How do we confront our priorities? How do we confront all of the things that we do and align them with who we really want to become, align them with our values? And so I want to ask a couple of questions. Of the things that you have going on today, or perhaps more importantly, the things that will be pressing on you right now, or maybe pressing on you tomorrow morning, how many of those things will be of value to you in 5 years? How important are they? Or are they just pressing upon you? Are they urgent? See, the first thing that we have to do is we have to decide in our own life what is really important. Because Carl Jung was a Swiss psychologist, and I've always remembered this phrase that he said. He said, you know, the world is going to ask you just once who you are. It's going to ask what's important to you. And if you don't know, if you haven't decided, the world will now tell you what's important to you. We see that all the time. People following the latest fashions, the latest fads. Somebody comes out with a new Nike sneaker and everybody stands in line. Or somebody comes out with a new iPhone, an iPhone upgrade, and the lines start forming because that's their identity. That's who they are. They have never made the choice. They've never made the decision. And as soon as something new and flashy comes out, I have to have it. But Jesus would look at us and say, but not so with you. That's not your way. Do you know what's important to you? A guy by the name of Ivy Lee, went to Charles Schwab. Years ago, Charles Schwab was in charge of Bethlehem Steel. And Ivy Lee went to him and he said, I can improve the functioning of your company by a few simple goal-setting tips. He said, here's the thing that I would like you to do. He said, at the beginning of every day, set down what is the most important thing I could do today. List it out. Number one, what's the most important thing I can do today? What's number two? What's number three? He said, then at the beginning of every day, don't do number two until you finish number one. Don't go to number three until you do number two. Complete what is most important first. A simple tool of transforming the way we look at life. See, how many times do we get distracted and we start something and we set it over here and then we do, and maybe you have multiple things going on at the same time. One of the nightmares, I don't know if you've ever had, if you guys have Kindles, how many of you have Kindle? If you don't, you know what they are. How many of you have multiple books going at the same time? I do. It's horrible. Multiple books at the same time, going at different paces. We tend to get distracted, and we don't get the full measure out of one simple reading. That happens in our relationships, too. We become so diffuse because we don't really know what's most important in our life. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the thing that is most important? In verse 20, 41, Jesus says to Martha, by the way, at the beginning of this passage, when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, he's echoing what God says to Moses at the burning bush. Moses, Moses. It's a sign of intimacy. It's a drawing in. It's a tenderness. Martha, it's a sign in Hebrew writing of how gentle and how loving he is to Martha. He's not just trying to correct her or trying to put her down. He's saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed, only one thing is needed. Martha had gotten off track. I love the way in this passage, the way Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it. He said, but Mary has chosen the main course. Mary has chosen at this moment in time what is the most important thing. Jesus is not telling her that her preparations are irrelevant or that she shouldn't be doing the work, that it's not important, but right now the priority should be to be with Jesus. See, we can get so caught up in doing church work and doing church life and all of the things in our own life that we forget, are we spending time alone with Jesus to just get to know him, to establish that relationship? Do you know in your own life what is the most important thing? But as soon as you know what is the most important thing, you have to almost set aside what are the things that are not important? What are those things that are trivial, that are small? There's a wonderful book or a little pamphlet that came out several years ago called The Tyranny of the Urgent. The idea of those urgent things that are so demanding, but really aren't that important. Think about your own life as parents and as grandparents. So often we get sidetracked by urgent things that have to be done, but parenting is a whole bunch of small but important things that add up over time. We have to spend our time on the important things, not just the urgent things. In 1972, Flight 401 out of JFK was headed for Miami. 1972, full jetliner. As they made their way over the Everglades, as they're coming into Miami, the pilot puts down the landing gear. But the little light that says that the landing gear is down never came on. So they began looking around. They check and they say, is the landing gear going down? Maybe, for all we know, maybe it's the little light bulb. And so they start this whole process of tearing apart the panel in flight to check on this little light bulb. And as they're so absorbed with the light bulb, they lost all sense that they were constantly in descent mode until the plane crashed into the Everglades because they were checking on a 76-cent light bulb. I wondered in that analogy, as I heard that story, how many times does that reflect what happens with us? We concentrate on the 76-cent issue, the demand of an email or a job or a phone call or a meeting, and our lives are crashing, descending the whole time, but we're so focused on the now that we never look, where's this going to get me in 5 years? We have to decide what is the most important thing in our life, and then we have to know what's not important. I can let that slide. That is not going to be my identity. But we have to put into perspective the tyranny of the urgent, those things that will press upon us and say, deal with me now. But what you will find, and what I have found, is most of the time the things that are so demanding, the squeaky wheel, The people that are saying, pay attention to me now, generally tend not to be what's most important. That's why they're the squeaky wheel. We have to pay attention, but maybe they're not the thing that should drive our life and our actions. So we know what's important, we know what's not important, and then we need to come back and establish a sense of balance, a sense of balance. You notice what Jesus does with Martha? He recognizes the gift that she is giving, the gift of hospitality, the whole work. The problem is that Martha was so overwhelmed by what she was doing that she lost sight of what was better, what her real priority was. And she was looking at Mary and saying, she's not helping me at all. This is the most important thing. And Jesus said, no, that was the wrong priority at this moment in this time. And so the question that we have to ask is, we need Marys and we need Marthas. How many of you have ever participated in a personality test? You know, Myers-Briggs, are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Are you sensing? Are you thinking? Are you analyzing? Are you feeling? And what we find is that for most of us, we have this duality as part of us. Some of us are extroverts and some of us are introverts. Some of us are thinkers and some of us are doers. And yet we need both of them, don't we? We have to have both of them in our lives. We can't all just kind of sit around and say, I'm just here to sit and soak. We need people that will, at the right time, to stand and say, now we have to put our hands to the plow. We have to scatter the seed. We have to be doers. You can't be one or the other. You have to be both. You have to establish a sense of boundary, a sense of balance. You have to be able to get to a place where you're saying, I'm doing a lot of things, but I'm also sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm being guided by his life and his actions. Many of you remember that movie, or maybe you've seen it multiple times, and probably you expected this to come up at some time. The movie City Slickers, do you remember that? And you remember Curly? Really played by Jack Palance, and he's kind of this rough, really rough and rugged cowboy, and he's just emulated by Billy Crystal, who's kind of lost in his life. He doesn't really know what's important, and Jack Palance says, you know, there's really just one thing that will guide your life, just that one thing. And of course, the rest of the movie is struggling, what is that one thing? What is that one thing? And as we gather this morning, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, Martha, you're distracted by many things, but indeed, there is only that one thing. Well, doesn't it kind of leave you that, tell me, what is the one thing? What is the one thing that we need in our lives, that guiding principle? What is it that we could do? And I think as we look at the gospel, we find that Jesus tells us, you know, in John's gospel, he says, don't you see? I've set for you an example that you should do as I have done. And so as part of our Methodist liturgy, as a matter of fact, as part of our baptism liturgy, when we come back to the church, you know, the church responds in baptism. What do we say to baptism? Let us so order our lives after the example of Christ. Let us learn from him. Let us order our lives, let us learn from his teachings, but then let's be doers. Let's share what he did. What did Jesus call us to do? Are we becoming the image of Christ? Are we doing what he asked us to do as the church, as disciples? Are we living up to that standard? Or are we conflicted? Are we distracted? Are we being drug around by the distractions of others? We need at times to kind of come and be honest and be open and say, Lord, I haven't really responded. Maybe I've been too busy doing this that I haven't paid attention like Mary has. But this is the opportunity to come and change that before it becomes too late. Jesus embraces both Mary and Martha. He loves Martha enough to draw her into that relationship. And he loves Mary that is sitting there. By the way, if you haven't ever guessed, this is kind of a very radical story that a woman is sitting at Jesus' feet. There's an old Sadducee prophecy that said for the Torah, for the law, it would be better that the Torah be burned than taught to a woman. And yet Jesus tells this story about two women, and Martha, Mary, has picked the better thing, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus is not here to take away from your life. He's here to reorder it and give it fullness and meaning. And I love what Eugene Peterson says, to give you the main course. To give your soul the main course. The question is, are you so distracted that you just don't have time but for anything but fast food? As we draw together, we're going to take up an offering here in a little bit. Just in that time of offering, just bow your head and just ask God, God, am I becoming too distracted? Am I becoming too busy to pay attention to the life that you've given to me? Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning as your children to just be in your presence, to have the main course of your life and your spirit just move within us. And we pray, oh God, for anyone here that is distracted, that in our fellowship, that we would heal one another and that we would comfort one another and that we would hold one another in your spirit and in your grace. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.